This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shauning and Philip. We're turning our attention to Indonesia at the moment because last week, the Bank of Indonesia kept interest rates at a record low of 3.5% in order to support the nation's economic recovery efforts. So Bank Indonesia Governor Perry Warjio said that Indonesia's normalization plans wouldn't necessarily follow the Fed. So as we recall, the Fed has signaled that it's going to taper quicker and also increase interest rates up to three times next year. Bank of Indonesia said, we're not necessarily going to go as fast as they are.
Yeah, because for the last quarter of the year, the central bank projected GDP growth of more than 4.5% after witnessing a 3.5% growth in the third quarter with several movement restrictions put in place. As economic recovery is closely related to vaccination rate, currently Indonesia has fully vaccinated just around 38% of its population, and slightly more than half of them have received their first dose of vaccine. So how will the largest economy of Southeast Asia perform in the year ahead, and will the country be in full recovery mode?
So for some thoughts on this, we have Willian Wiranto, economist at OCBC Bank, joining us. Good morning, Willian. The fortunes of the Indonesian economy for the past 20 months have been tied to how well the country is navigating the pandemic. Will that correlation continue in 2022?
The short answer is yes. I think on that front, we have to know that the linchpin of Indonesia's economy is really private consumption. It comprises about 55-60% of the economy. And in turn, if Indonesia continues to have any kind of lockdown risk or even just pandemic outbreak risk, I think consumption will still stay a bit muted. Conversely, as we are witnessing now with the pandemic coming under better control as of now, we are seeing signs that consumer confidence has returned. People are basically going out and about again. And that in turn, I think, going to be pushing up the economic momentum. So again, if you think about correlation, think about how the economy is moving with the ebbs and flows of the pandemic. Rightly or wrongly, I think we still have that very strong correlation for the Indonesian economy.
Now, William, the house view at OCBC is for the GDP in 2022 to hit 5% for Indonesia. But what are the risks to that forecast, especially with the onset of the Omicron variant?
Well, I must say that the 5% forecast is already relatively conservative. I think, if you look back at pre-pandemic level, Indonesia used to grow at a clip of 5.5% or so, even in good times. So, and I think for us to have the 5%, obviously this comes after 2 years of very subpar growth. So in many ways, 5% is already low. But to add to that, obviously the risk coming from the Omicron variant is real, even though we really do not know a lot of parameters, including just how severe and whether you escape some of the vaccines that we have, especially pertinent for Indonesia, is the fact that, one, we depend a lot on Sinovac vaccine to roll out the bulk of the vaccination for the population. And there's some news suggesting that, this particular vaccine may be less than ideal to battle this particular variant. So that's one big question, Mark. And on top of that, obviously, we step into this this new year with still relatively low nationwide vaccination rate of just about 30-40%, and if the population is not vaccinated even now, then obviously we're going to have to deal with the potential risk of Omicron running like wildfire, causing lockdown risk again into 2022.
In the past, the Indonesian rupiah has seen periods of crisis, and with the recent sharp depreciation of the Turkish lira, is there a risk of history repeating itself, or are the economic fundamentals in Indonesia much more robust now?
Well, if we think about the kind of scenario where something that the Fed does impact EM central banks, I think we think back to 2013, the taper tantrum episode, if you recall that. I think compared to that episode, Indonesia is in a better place now. If you look at, say, things like current account deficit, probably deficit is still there, but it's a lot lower than before. We used to think about current account deficit for Indonesia to the tune of 3-4%. Now it's closer to 0.5-1%. So the dependence on foreign flows and hence the risk of that Indonesia has to foreign outflows, I think, would be relatively less. Let's not forget, you brought a case of Turkey, which is obviously very curious, because I think in terms of policy making setting, let's just say Indonesian policymakers know what they are doing a lot better than the Turkish counterparts do. For instance, we don't hear, I would say, crazy talks about how you need to cut rate in order to curb inflation, that kind of argument. No, not at all.
And taking a look at the commodity space, analysts are forecasting the start of a super commodity cycle. Is Indonesia going to benefit from this?
To be sure, I'm personally not so sure about the idea of super cycle for commodities, but probably we might have a cycle at least going into next year, if not already happening. Commodities are getting a bit of that tailwind. To the extent that Indonesia is a commodity exporter, as listeners probably know, big player in palm oil, so big player in coal, Indonesia does tend to benefit. We've seen exports numbers for Indonesia being on the uptick, for instance, that will help them at least in getting a good trade balance. And in turn, it does help them in terms of preserving some kind of currency stability going to what might be fairly choppy next year.
And since we have you on the line, I mean, how will Malaysia fare in 2022? What are your GDP expectations for us?
The funny coincidence is also penciled in 5.0% GDP forecast for Malaysia, partly so that I won't mix up the numbers. But to be honest, it's also, it's also, again, a recovery story. We have had a very rough year. Even though it's better than last year, it's still a fairly rough year. So in going to next year, we are still seeing recovery for Malaysia. But for those who follow Malaysian economy, like your listeners will be, obviously 5% might strike you as relatively low, relatively conservative, compared to say what the government has in mind, 5.5% to 6.5%. I would caution against having too high an expectation going to next year. We do still see recovery. We just don't think it's going to be honky dory and straight line. Partly because we expect consumption recovery to be there, yes, but also relatively muted because households are, having to service the debt again with the end of loans moratorium. And also households step into this with their EPF accounts very, very much depleted after the ISINAR Lestari schemes.
Willian, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Willian Wiranto, economist at OCBC Bank, giving us his outlook for the Indonesian economy and capping the conversation with the look at Malaysian expectations as well.
Yeah, I like the fact that he just penciled in 5% so he won't get confused. Simple way, right?
Yeah, but he made a very interesting point that Indonesia's economy is linked to the domestic consumer because private consumption does account for nearly 55 to 60% of its overall GDP, similar to what Malaysia goes through as well. So the consumer is very key, and that requires a lot of confidence.
Yeah, so it depends on how the government is managing the COVID-19 crisis. But at the moment, there is a poll out there saying that Jokowi has 70% approval ratings at this moment. So it seems like the Indonesians are pretty happy with what the government is doing. Yeah. But just, tweaking the story slightly, I'm looking at tourism, which, of course, there isn't such a big factor in their economy versus Thailand, right? But Bali opened their doors to international tourists in October. And guess what? For the month of October, there were only 2 foreigners, okay?
It's crazy because just to give you some context, that in 2019, they had 6.2 million tourists.
Wow. The difference is
quite stark. Yeah. So you say 2 in October, 45 for the whole year.
That's real tragedy if you're a hotel operator.
Tragic.
And, Bali, most of us have honestly been or think of going. And it's really, really, I would say easily, I'm guessing here, 70, 80% driven by tourism.
That's right. I mean, if you look at the data, it contributed $10 billion to its economy.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.